Thanks for checking out the Relevant Life Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved and that wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you and challenges you. Now, here's this week's message.
Last week, we had an amazing Easter service. We had a total of 11 salvations in our services. Would you give God praise for that? It's been amazing. I've had follow-ups with three of those and had some conversations, one that's significant, and I'm excited about what God's doing in their life. You know, there's those moments of emotional decisions, and then there's moments of when decisions change your life. You're sitting here this morning, your life has been changed, obviously. You've been transformed, and that's what we're praying for, right? Is that life change would take place. I want to give you a heads up. If you have not signed up for Kids Conference, make sure you do so today. Today is the last final day to do so. Maybe you're not aware of, but starting tomorrow, is our Oregon Ministry Network Summit, which is where all the pastors of our network, 300 and some of those, will be gathering together and hearing future visions and all of that, celebrating victories and doing business. But one of the very important ones that impacts us is that tomorrow night is a license service, and our very own Sasser will be recognized with his license, and we want to gather there. So that starts at 6 o'clock, and if you want to be part of that, that would be great. Come get a seat. It kind of usually fills up rather quickly. We want to appreciate him for his accomplishment. You know, this has been 2 years of school, 2 years of longevity of process, being bivocational and all that, and he's done an amazing job in that, and so we want to recognize that and be there to support him. Also on your seat, there is a Africa's Impact. Everybody grab your Africa's Impact and kind of wave it at me so I know that everybody has acknowledged that it's there. Good job. Doesn't that paper just sound nice? Today, we're continuing on with this impact. We are at almost $23,000, $7,000 away from our goal. We have until May 31st. So if you have not signed up yet, if you have not made a pledge yet, I want to invite you to be part of that, this Africa's Impact. Africa's Impact, if you're going, well, what is this? It is translating the Discovery Series, which is a Bible training series, and some of God's Word as well into four different languages in the country of Ethiopia. And we have, as the Oregon Ministry Network, have adopted that to the tune of about $750,000, and we're $30,000 of that. And so we want to ask you to participate. We're excited. We're almost there. Isn't that great? $23,000, and we're so close. And so we just want to invite you to participate in that and help us out. I want to show you a brief video just to kind of stir you a little bit more back in Africa. If you've ever wanted to be part of something that will actually transform a country, this is something that will transform a country. What a small investment for us to impact millions, literally millions of people. So we want to invite you to be part of that. We're almost done with our DNA series, Divine DNA. Today, preaching on love, sacrificial and unconditional. You say, well, Pastor Kevin, we talked about brotherly love, brotherly kindness. Well, you're going to see the difference between these last two. I have to be honest with you, I don't like this sermon. I don't know if you've ever, if the Word of God has ever spoke something to you and you're like going, I don't like this, God. Anybody else ever say that to God? Anybody have that bold conversation with him? God, I don't like this. You know, I have studied love much, and probably this is just a precursor, a reminder of all that we need to be. But I can tell you, this idea of love is not a fun idea of love. Love is not a feeling, and you're going to see that today. Love is a choice. But I love this fact because in 2 Peter, Peter comes and he says, by his divine power, everybody say divine power. I keep coming back to that week after week after week. By his divine power, he has granted us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. How many sometimes go through life and you're not observant that his divine power is active in your life? Is there, you know, I mean, we have those moments when we know that God's divine power is there. You see a miracle or you have an encounter. But can I tell you that probably 90 to 95, 97% of our lives, we walk through life unaware of the power of God. We're completely oblivious that it's there. But I want to assure you today that regardless of whether you feel it or whether you acknowledge it, his divine power has granted you all things pertaining to life and to godliness. Whether we step back in and go, okay, no, God, it's here. Whether tomorrow morning you get up in the morning and go, God, thank you for your divine power. His power is continually there producing in us. And I say all that because I've realized through this list of traits, these list of things that we are supposed to be intentional with, that without God's divine power, I will continually fail. Anybody discover that? That there's parts in our lives that we need to be intentional with. And yes, Peter comes and he says that we need to make every effort. So everybody say, make every effort. We need to make an effort. We need to put forth energy. But we will never accomplish these without the divine power of God. Without his divine nature flowing through us. This is not something that Kevin can stand up here and go, yes, check the box, I did it. Yes, check the box, I did it. I'm good with this. No, it's making every effort. There's this practicing, and you're going to see that in the last verse of scripture that we get to next week. But it goes, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing. Everybody say yours. Say they're mine. If these qualities are yours and they're increasing in you, meaning that you have to practice them, meaning you have to continue adding to your repertoire, that you, it's never enough. You don't just arrive. It's by his divine power that these things come. He comes with this list of traits, and as we looked at the last three and we kind of dialogued it a couple weeks ago, that godliness and brotherly love and love are all kind of in tandem. They're all kind of connected. That this thing of godliness is our love to God. It talks about our I referred to our mission statement, connecting with God, relating to people, and reaching the world. That this connecting with God is godliness, that it's love for God, that out of our love for him, we want to obey him. Out of our love for him, we want to be more like him. That reaching the world or relating to people is this brotherly love, this one another affection, that we step into relationship and we go, no, I'm committed to you, you're committed to me. There's a deep bond that takes place. This last one is a love that is all-inclusive, and it's a love that many of us have a misunderstanding about, or many of us think that we function in, but we often fail in. It's one of those loves that is literally impossible to accomplish without the grace of God. It's literally impossible to do without encountering the love of God. It's not something that our world, that anybody outside of God can go function in. Because it's a supernatural love. It's not a love that you can put on if you don't know God because you've never experienced this kind of love. This kind of love that we are talking about is a love that is supernatural in its elements. The world often defines love as a feeling. They think that it's something that makes them feel special, that there's a romantic, heart-fluttering feeling that you have in marriage, or there's this thing that is there. They treat love like it's a perfume that wears off. Can I tell you today, this love that we're talking about is not something you spray on and wash off. It's not something that just happens and is gone. It's something that transforms your life, and it therefore transforms your perspectives. We want to talk about this love that's sacrificial, that's unconditional. I realized in preparation this week that I fall very, very short in this aspect of love. I don't know if you have, you know, we can talk about love a lot, we can specify love a lot, but when we begin to really look at the depth of love like we're going to today, I kind of expect that you will probably end up in the same place I did, realizing that you fall very short in this level of love. Sacrificial, as we talk about sacrificial, is to surrender or to give up. Permit injury to yourself or disadvantage to for the sake of someone or something else. You know, we can go through our lives and go, no, I've sacrificed. But is this a continual thing in your life? Are you continually sacrificing? When we talk about sacrificial love, it's not just a moment of sacrifice. It's not just that I sacrificed once. It's a continual sacrifice. It's a continual going, no, I'm willing to be disadvantaged. I'm willing to be inconvenienced. I'm willing to surrender. I'm willing to not have my way. Anybody ever struggle with not having your way? I got a couple of you. Another word, unconditional, not subject to any conditions. It's unrestricted. When we talk about an unconditional love, it's coming without restrictions. It's coming without boundaries. How many of you walk in a relationship in your, let's go back to marriage or in a parent relationship, that you come from a restricted perspective? As much as you don't want to, as much as you say, no, I will tell death to us part, everything that's mine is yours. How many wake up in the morning and never are self-centered? And there's restrictions that step into the relationship. As much as we want this unconditional love and as much as we want to function in it, we fall very, very short. In the Greek, there are four types of love, four very specific words, and I want to look at them really quickly. The first one is eros, which is that sexual or romantic love. It's where we get our English word erotic from. So this sexual love, this thing that is there that hopefully, you know, within God's boundaries is taking place in marriage, but it's happening all across our world. The next one is storge, which is a love and affection between family, husband and wife and parents and children. It's one of those things that just is there, an acceptance that's there. Phileo, which is the third kind, kind of a step up from that, is a deep emotional bond, a care between two people or a care between a group of people. There's something that's deep that's there that holds you. Hopefully there's in a marriage, you're going to go, well, no, I have that. Well, no, I have that. Well, no, I have. Can I tell you, yes, you're going to have phases of those. But ultimately, when it comes down to it, God's asking us all in all of our relationships to function in agape, the sacrificial and unconditional. It's not based on a feeling or an emotion. Love, the definition here, is the love that is sacrificial, of giving one's self to meet the needs of another and expecting nothing in return. Expecting nothing in return. Do you go through life with expectations? Do you go through life expecting something back? Can I tell you that I think that that's all part of our makeup and how we function? Expectations aren't completely wrong. You have those of a spouse. You have those of a family member. You have those of friends. But it comes back to this idea of, are we functioning in a love that we're willing to sacrifice without expectation? Agape love is sacrificial love. This agape love is a self-denying, Christ-like love, the capstone of all of the Christian life. As we have walked through all of these lists of traits, as we've walked through virtue, and we've walked through self-control, and we've walked through perseverance, and we've walked through godliness, can I tell you that all of those without love can make us into people that are judgmental, critical, and hard to live with? This capstone, that all of these without love are just religious behaviors, are just things and virtues and traits that we've added to our life. So if love is not part of them, we've become robotic and methodical. C.S. Lewis says this, love is unselfishly choosing for another the highest good. Unselfishly choosing for another the highest good. When you look at relationships and you walk through life, are you unselfishly choosing the highest good for another? Do you choose and do you defer to that? It's a constant state of self-denial. Anybody like to deny yourself? Is that fun? No, denying yourself is not fun, but that's this thing that God's calling us to. Colossians 3:14, Paul writes to the church there, and he says, beyond all things, beyond all these things, and Paul's giving a list of all these behaviors. He says, beyond all of these things, put on love. Everybody say, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Without love, you will not have unity. Without love, you will not have this thing in relationships of acceptance and love and forgiveness. It has to be that's there. If you put on love, it's like getting dressed in it. You know, as you went to the closet this morning or last night, I'm a Saturday night clothes picker outer because I get up so early in the morning and I don't want to have to think that early in the morning to go, what am I going to wear? And so I'm going through the closet. I'm going, what should I wear? What's going to cover my bulbous body at this moment and not make me feel like fatso when I see myself on Facebook tomorrow as the pictures come out? Anybody else self-critical about that? I'm just living honest with you, living real, right? This part of it, you know, you go, okay, I gotta look good. You know, I gotta put forth, but I'm getting dressed. Can I tell you that as I go through the closet and I'm selecting a shirt to go, is this one gonna fit? Is it gonna be too tight? Is my buttons gonna, all that stuff. Can I tell you Paul is talking about putting on love. He says, you're going to the closet of these character traits. And every single morning, every single moment of your life, you're going, I'm going to select love. Every decision you make, I'm going to select love. This unconditional love, I'm going to put it on and I'm going to dress myself in it. You say, well, once you wear it, do you take it off? How many take off love? Come on, be honest. How many take off love? In our responses, in our reactions, we take off this thing called love, and Paul says, no, put it on and keep it on. Agape love is not a feeling. It is a choice. And to be honest with you, I struggle choosing to love sometimes. Do you? And we're not just talking about deep relationships. It's just sometimes just loving people. Jonathan Edwards says this. He preached a sermon titled, Heaven, a World of Love. In it, he says, heaven will be a place of perfect love flowing from the triune God with nothing ugly or tainted by selfishness. Would you just think about that? Would you think of your world that you live in today? Would you think of your life today that has been tainted and made ugly by selfishness? Isn't that really the root, this enemy of love is a self-centeredness? That when we step into relationships, this love that God's talking about, is it's hindered by our self-absorption. It's hindered by us denying ourselves. And here heaven is going to be this place that's not tainted by selfishness. Today I want to look at two main points about love. Love, sacrificial, unconditional. This love is an action without expectation. An action without expectation. Expectation. The number one reason for marital strife is unmet expectations. Unmet expectations. Oftentimes they're unspoken expectations. Oftentimes they're just assuming that your partner is reading your brain. Understanding your focus, unmet expectations. This word expectations lead to disappointment. Expectations lead to hurt. Expectations lead to discouragement. Feelings of rejection. It all goes back, and then we step into the swirl of life, going, "Where do I fit?" But can I tell you that this idea of love is without expectation? Anybody find it difficult to walk in love without expectation? Because you go, well, I'm going to love you and I'm going to accept you and I'm going to deny myself for you. And you're hoping that somewhere on the other side, they're going to walk in love and deny themselves for you. This love is an action without expectation. Agape sacrifices for others. It's not based on this feeling or emotion. It patiently shows kindness. It does not envy and does not get heated. It does not uplift self. It does not act improperly. It does not focus on self-desires. It is not quick-tempered. It does not think evil of unkind people. It grieves over injustices. It rejoices in the truth. It covers forgiven failures. It believes the best in others. It hopes the best for others. This is one, this love that we're talking about was very, very rare in the Greek culture. They were very familiar with eros. They were very familiar with storge. They were very familiar with this kind of idea of phileo as long as it was within their family realm. But when this word agape, that's unspoken of. Agape that's unconditional, you mean no, you keep score. You keep track of, you keep a level of, you go, no, this is not, no, that's unjust. And we keep this record of wrongs. This idea of agape love was one that was pervade through the Christian community. Paul is coming and he's talking about how you are going to let people know that you are different, that you are set apart, is that you're going to walk in this love that is God's love. You're going to walk in this love that is beyond you. Agape love is often presented as a choice to love people who are unlovable. Have you ever heard of that idea? Well, we're just to love the unlovable. But I want to tell you today, as I was reading or this week in a commentary, this is a gross misrepresentation. Agape is not our choice. Agape is God's choice to love us and move our hearts with his love so that we become his love for the world. Because we have encountered God's love, we are to be purveyors of his love. Because we have experienced it. That's why I said this morning, without experiencing God's love, you will never walk in agape love. People in the world can never walk in unconditional love. They can't go there because they've never encountered it. They've never experienced it. Warren Wiersbe says this, biblical love is loving by choice, the love of serving and sacrificing with humility. The greatest form of love, the noblest kind of devotion, the love of the will and not motivated by superficial appearance, emotional attraction, or sentimental relationship. Can I tell you today that it's easy to love someone that loves you? It's easy to love someone that makes you feel good. It's easy to love someone who's attractive. It's easy to love all those things. But when it comes back to it, is it, are you really functioning in agape love? John MacArthur says this. I don't agree with all of his doctrine, but I believe that this statement is so true. He says, agape love is not an emotion, but a disposition of the heart to seek the welfare and meet the needs of others. A disposition of the heart, a shaping of the heart, an attitude of the heart. If your heart's deceitfully wicked, if your heart's not transformed, you'll never be able to do this. It's a disposition of the heart. It may be showing kindness to one who's unkind. It may be praying for someone needy that you don't necessarily understand or agree with. It is sacrificing your time, your funds, your energy, your emotions to help comfort, care, and encourage. This love that Jesus displayed was action-oriented. Read this week, and I want to read it to you. It was too long to put on a slide. If you want it, I will be more than happy to send it to you. It says, if Jesus' love was sensitive, Jesus would say, I feel for you in your sin. If Jesus' love was rational, Jesus would say, your sin is illogical. If Jesus' love was judgmental, Jesus would say, only bad people sin. If Jesus' love was therapeutic, Jesus would say, tell me about your sin. If Jesus' love was pitiful, Jesus would say, You should have seen your sin coming. If Jesus' love was meditative, Jesus would say, relax and just don't think about your sin. If Jesus' love was pessimistic, Jesus would say, get ready, your sin is going to make your life worse. If Jesus' love was optimistic, Jesus would say, don't worry about your sin, things will get better. But Jesus' love is agape love, and Jesus says, take my hand and let me pull you out of your sin. And I want to tell you today that that's the agape love. Agape love is not just coming and consoling and doing all those things. Agape love says, I love you enough to help you out. And that's what Jesus did. Since agape love is action, it's not an ideal or a philosophy. And we love to create this idea that in the church, there's this ethereal love, a philosophical mindset. It's not a philosophy. It's a being. Scripture says that God is love. Without God, we don't have love. Without God, we cannot step into this aspect of unconditional love. Action, love is an action without expectation. Number two, I want to give you the target of love. The target of love. Target is a mark to shoot at. Not a mark back there to shoot at, even though let's all shoot at him. Everybody take a spit wad. A mark, a spot to shoot at, a place of intense focus, attention, and aim. When we think about a target, when we think about where our aim is of love, I want to talk today real quickly about where we are to be focusing our love. What, or rather who, is to be our place of intense focus? What, or rather who, is to be the place of our aim and attention with our love? I convinced in myself that much of the time I wake up in the morning and my love is focused towards Kevin. That my attention's focused towards Kevin. How my day is going to impact Kevin, how my morning's going to impact Kevin, what's my focus, and how does Kevin get everything done that Kevin needs to accomplish? Anybody bold enough to say that you wake up in the morning and you're kind of self-absorbed yourself? You know, I think the realization is as much as we want to go, no, our lives are about other people, our lives are about us. We live very self-absorbed, very self-consumed lives. And our target needs to be something different than ourselves. Oftentimes we think the opposite of love is hate. You know, that we have hate and we have love. And I want to tell you today, the opposite of love is apathy and indifference. Going through life not caring, going through life self-absorbed and just kind of going, oh, I'm indifferent to that. Checking out and going, no, that doesn't bother me. Can I tell you that if we were walking in the love of Christ, that things around us are going to bother us? Things around us are going to stir our lives. Things around us are going to promote us to kindness and compassion. That it's not just checking out and going, oh, no, it's out of sight, out of mind. It's no, it's there. And I need to love. I need to step in because love is an action. The first target that I want to look at is we are to target loving fellow believers. And you say, well, Pastor Kevin, we talked about that last week and phileo, brotherly love. Well, brotherly love is only used five times throughout Scripture. The word Philadelphia is only used five times in Scripture, and the rest of the time that Jesus is using this word love, he's using the word agape. Giving, loving, without sacrifice. And so here he comes in John chapter 13, verse 34 to 35. He says, this new commandment that I give to you, it's not just an old commandment, it's a new one. I don't want you to live by the old ones. I want you to come to a new one, that you love, agape, one another, that you sacrifice for one another, that you love in action without expectation one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. As you look at this passage of Scripture, you can see that there is the standard. There's this thing that God expects of us. You love one another. You are willing to go out of your comfort zone for one another. So your body of Christ, who you are, we go beyond ourselves. But Jesus doesn't just say love one another. He quantifies how we are to love. And this is where it comes to this unconditional. And he says, just as I have loved you, you are also to love others. Again, you can't love without experiencing the love. You don't know what it is because our distorted view of love in humanity is broken. It's with expectations. It's with all these limiters on it. And Jesus says, no, how I want you to love is just how I've loved you. Fully, unconditionally, sacrificially. I expect nothing back from you. If this was an emotional love that caused Jesus to hang on the cross, can you imagine his people around mocking him and just a few of his disciples were going crying because he was dying? He's going, no, this isn't worth this. I'm not getting affirmation from this. I'm not getting feedback from this. I have expectations. No, he came going, I don't expect anything. I'm doing this because there's a price that has to be paid. And then Jesus goes on to say that there's going to be proof. It's going to, that all people will know that you are different because of your love. that all people are going to step back and go, wow, what is different and unique about them? What's wrong with the Church of Jesus Christ? What's wrong with Kevin today? Is that Kevin functions in self-absorption, that Kevin worries about himself and expectations and getting something back, and God is coming. What's going to make you different, Kevin, is that you give without expectation, that you love without expectation. The second target that we have is to love our enemies. Whew. Seriously, God? To love our enemies? You mean it's not just people that I like or people that I have to actually go to heaven with, but it's people that I don't like and people that are mean? People that have different political views than me? People that have different lifestyles than me? People that have different convictions than me? God, I really am supposed to love them? Matthew chapter 5 says this: you've heard the law that says, love your neighbor. Ah, great, cool, yeah. Because you've heard it, this was the past rule, and hate your enemy. But I tell you, I give you a new rule, that you are to love your enemies. You're to pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. When someone unjustly treats you at work, a non-believer, someone that is outside of your realm, someone that you really have no deep bond with, is your very first inclination to love them? Is your very first inclination to stop and go, God, thank you for them. Would you just bless them? That's not my first sentiments when I'm thinking of someone that's done evil to me. I'm saying, God, bring justice. Right? Anybody justice-oriented? God, you get them. God, their perspective is wrong. Ah! We get on our soapbox, and Jesus is coming saying, love your enemies. Shut up about your complaining, Kevin, and just pray for them. Quit griping about what's wrong with them and pray for them. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven, for he gives his sunlight to both the evil and to the good. He sends his rain on the just and the unjust. He says, if you love only those who love you, what reward is that? What reward is that? Oftentimes we go through life going, I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine. We go, no, my love's different than that. No, I'm committed. We look at our world and we look at our culture and go, no, I love the people that I go to work with and I pray for them. But when they do you unjustly, do you love them? Do you really truly stop and go, I pray for them? When your neighbor is rude and disrespectful to you and your property, do you step into a moment of praying for them, or do you go out and have a verbal war with them? I can tell you that I came back to mind a situation that took place a couple years back at my house on a holiday when my driveway was set aside for neighbors and their driveway was set aside for guests and their driveway was set aside for guests, and they decided that my driveway was going to be their driveway also. And I went out and had a conversation. Probably didn't start off as calm as I should have, but I can tell you that it quickly escalated. And my thought was not loving my neighbor. My thought was not praying for them that despitefully use you. My thought was, if I wasn't a preacher right now, I'd punch you. But then I could just imagine on the Statesman Journal, pastor knocks out his neighbor, thrown in jail. But Pastor Kevin, you don't feel that way. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. When it comes back to loving your neighbor, it's not easy. Loving your neighbor is a choice. Loving those people that are mean to you, loving those people that spread rumors about you, loving those people that are different than you, that don't agree with you, loving those people, it's hard. Can you admit that it's hard? Corrie Ten Boom says this: you never so touch the ocean of God's love as when you forgive and love your enemies. I can tell you, when I have truly come to places of forgiveness in my life, it transforms me, not the other person. It transformed my perspective. I can actually walk through situations. My dad's anniversary of his 3-year death was on Friday. And I can tell you that if the year before there was deep angst in me. This year, there is a setting of peace. Can I tell you, true forgiveness, whether they're alive or whether they're dead, sets you free from a bondage that you just go, oh, well, it happened, it's done, it's over with. God bless him. A settling that takes place in your life, it releases this ocean. Corrie ten Boom also says that when he tells us to love our enemies, he gives, along with that command, the love itself. Can I tell you what's so amazing about this kind of love? That God would not ask us to do it if he's not going to assist us in it. God will not demand it from you if he does not first give it to you. But what it demands of us is to step out of self and into God. What it demands of us is to say, no, it's not about me, it's about others. Lastly, we are to target loving everyone that's in between. Talk about loving our brothers, loving our enemies. Basically, God's saying, I want you just to love all humanity. I want you to love people unconditionally. Agape love does not require that we feel any attraction or sentiment to the one loved. Impulsive love is completely contrary to God's decisive love. We've been impulsive in our love many times. Because something has happened, we feel love. We feel this emotion rather than a choice. 1 John says this, anyone who does not love does not know God. Anyone who does not agape does not know God. Can I tell you, that's a really harsh scripture. I had to evaluate my life this week and go, Kevin, you suck at agape loving. And this scripture tells me that anyone who does not agape love doesn't even know God. You've not ever really truly encountered his love. Because when we talk about this unconditional love that God has given to us, that we take for granted day in and day out, that his kindnesses and his mercies and his forgiveness and his long-suffering, all of these adjectives that we can go back to the love of God, are ever present in our lives. They're without exception. Goes on in verse 11, it says, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. I've realized this, the more that I get to know God, the more I can love. If I know God, then I know his love, and his love will transform me to love others. What that evidence to me is the knowing here or is the knowing here? Because if the knowing's here, this is going to be self-absorbed, hateful, despiteful, angry. But if the knowing's here, I've given God permission to flow through me. His divine power. By his divine power. Can I tell you how powerful those words are? By his divine power. People, it's impossible. It's impossible. Hear me, it's impossible to do this without his divine power flowing through you. You can strive all you want to, you will never arrive. And as I read 1 Corinthians 13 in closing today, this love that God speaks to us about, this love that God wants from us, is the love that he gave us. And this is the definition of love. Love is always patient. Love is always kind. Love never envies. Love never boasts. It is never proud. It is never dishonoring of others. It is never self-seeking. It is never easily angered. It never keeps record of wrong. It never delights in evil, but it rejoices in the truth. Love always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. Love always perseveres. Love never fails. The greatest of these is love. I read this list, and I'm going to be honest with you today. I read this list and I go, but God, what if? I want you to hear the adjective in this always. There's no what ifs. There's no if, ands, or buts. It's just, if you're going to walk in agape, this is what it is. And I can tell you today that I am here standing desperately in the need of God's divine power. Because in and of myself, I can't always. In and of myself, I will always, always fail. Today, I ask you, as we've read 1 Corinthians 13, do you recognize and acknowledge God's agape love? Do you even see what it is towards you? Do you realize that he's always, everybody say always, he's always all of those things? And we take it for granted many times. In a moment of transparency in yourself, how would you describe your love towards others? Do you see that you fall short? How is your life characterized by selfless, sacrificial, and serving love? It's easy for me to sacrifice for people that I like. It's not easy for me to sacrifice for people that I don't like. It's easy for me to be selfless with people that I like, but it's not always easy for me to be selfless with people that I don't like. It's easy for me to serve people that I like, but it's not always easy to serve people that I don't like. Last one, how are you pursuing the interests of others above your own? We look at this and we go, this is a daunting task. Anybody feel overwhelmed with this task of love? Anybody feel overwhelmed with the task of love? Can I tell you, you should? You should. Because the only way you can do it is in Jesus. And that's why at this time, as they come to sing a song, we're going to come and say, God, I die to me and I come alive to you. As much as I love my wife and as much as I want it to be sacrificial and unconditional, can I tell you that sometimes my love towards her is not expressed in kindness? Sometimes I can have an unkind word. Sometimes I can be rude. Sometimes I can be thoughtless. Anybody in those people that are most dear to you oftentimes comes out, wah, and you puke all over their shoes and you expect them to clean it up. You're not even good enough to clean it up yourself for them. Today we need Jesus. Would you stand to your feet this morning? Lift your hands across this place and say, God, I need your divine power. Come on, God, I need your divine power. God, I need your divine power. God, I need your divine power. Holy Spirit, we need you today. This is not something that we can do within ourselves. It's not a feeling or a sentiment or an emotion. Holy Spirit, change us and transform us. God, this journey that we've been on, this capstone of all of these things, God, it brings us back to the very beginning that all of these things are completely impossible unless your divine power is evident in our lives. And that divine power is experiencing your love. God, today we come. God, forgive us for being selfish. God, today we choose agape love. Would you say that today? God, I choose agape love. So as you look at me this morning, it's really great that we went through this motion this morning of I choose. But 30 seconds from now, you're going to have a choice. 2 hours from now, you're going to have a choice. Tomorrow, you're going to have plenty of choices. And throughout this week, probably a lot more choices. Why? Because people are broken, just like you're broken. And just like you want someone to love you sacrificially and unconditionally, I want you to step into a place of going, how do I want to be loved? I need to love.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's podcast. We hope you were inspired and encouraged by the message. For more information about Relevant Life Church, check out our website at www.relevantlifechurch.net or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter under the handle RLC_Salem. Have a blessed day.